He said that then I can teach transgressors your ways and sinners can be converted. I want to be used by you. So whatever you got to do, God, to get me right now, I got to be used by you. So whatever it takes, get me right, God. A good man said, it's me standing in the need. It ain't always somebody else's fault. It's me. What can I do? Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. A good man. Anybody want to be a good man? Let's look at verse number 24, because I think y'all ready to go already. A good man says that though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord uphold him with his what? Hand. He says not only does God prepare a good man, but a good man is protected by God. He's prepared by God, but he's protected by God. And when we look at it, he says, though he what? Fall. Oh, we thought a good man never have a bad day. A good man can't have a bad day because you're a good man. But a good man has plenty of bad days, but he don't talk about it all the time. I've had some good days. Y'all, come on now. You had some hills to climb, had some weary days, and some sleepless nights. But when I look around, a good man looks around and think things over. He can say that all of his good days outweigh his bad days, and a good man say, I won't complain. A good man is protected by God. He falls. The Bible even tells us that a just man falleth what? 7 times, but he gets back up. Anybody know a man that decided that I'm not going to wallow in sin, I'm not going to wallow in shame, I'm not going to wallow in disappointment, I'm not going to wallow in failure and fault, but I'm going to get up and I'm going to go back and ask God to help me to do it right the next time. Do I have any witnesses? A good man can be successful because the Bible says that a good man, a blessed man, in Psalm number 1, he said, a blessed man don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand it in the way of sinner, nor sit it in the seat of the scoffer, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Lord, whatever it is you say, that's what I delight in. I don't delight in what Steve Harvey says, Oprah said, but I don't even care what Dr. Phil has to say, but what I delight in is what the Lord has to say. Good man go to church because he want to hear what God has to say. Come on and say amen. He said, though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down. In other words, that whenever he trips, whenever he has a fall, people can't look at him and talk about it because God picks him right on back up. You don't have to call people to help you, good men, because God picks you up. Oh, God wipes you off when people write you off. Help me, Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah, he's protected by God. He falls, but he's not utter. And the reason why is because he upholds him with his hand. God picks him right back up. God upholds him. God supports him. God, Lord have mercy. God supports him. God picks him up. It's kind of like, I always use this example. It's kind of like walking with a baby that's just learning to walk. When that baby trips because you got that baby hand, that baby don't ever hit the ground. You just drag them right on, put them right back on their feet. You know how that baby trips? You just pick them back up and put them right back on their feet. And that's what God does. I trip, but God put me right back on my feet. I had a stumble, but God didn't let me fall. I had some things happen, but that's all right because God was on my side and he picked me up, turned me around, and placed my feet in an established or solid ground, an established place. Come on and say, man. God will pick him up. Not only will God pick us up, but God will protect us. Amen. He says that in verse 24, he said, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. In other words, with God's strength, he supports him. With God's spirit, he moves him. With God's hand, he lifts him. I wish I had somebody. If God has given you, and that word hand means not only the hand, but the wrist. It means that you can have the wrist. In other words, you can hold on to God. I wish I had somebody. God's wrists are so strong that not only will God lift you, but God will turn you. I wish I had somebody. And so when we think about a good man, sometimes not only does he need to be lifted, but he sometimes need to be turned. And so God knows just how to turn us. God knows how to support us. God knows how to protect us. He upholds us with his hand. God has has a hand of protection. And when God's hand of protection is on you, no matter what comes your way, come hell or high water, God's hand is upon you. Come on and say amen. Oh yeah, you can truly and honestly say that no weapon formed against you shall prosper when you're a good man. You can truly honestly say that in any afflictions that come upon me, the Lord will deliver me from them all. You can truly say the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the enemies came to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fled, because God was right there with me. David said in Psalm 23, he said that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because God is right there with me. His rod, his staff, they comfort me. We need to know that God comforts us. He keeps us. He protects us. He's on our side. He said that if we got to look at that, all things work together for the good of them that love God and to the called according to his purpose. Do you know that a good man has a purpose? Do you know that a good man has a call according to Romans 8? We need to understand that. We need to know that a good man can say, if God be for us, then who can be against us? Do I have any good men in the house? God is looking for a few good men that's not afraid to praise him. He's looking for a few good men that's not afraid to pray to him. He's looking for a few good men that's not afraid to witness for him and to worship him. Come on and say amen here. Short message. I'm almost done. Third verse of the text that we've chosen, verse 25, says, I've been young, now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He says, I've been young, and I wasn't all that good of a man, but God made me good. He said, I've been young. David been young. He said, I made some mistakes in my young life. He said, but throughout the mistakes, God allowed me to remain so I can become an old man. David said, I made a mistake with Bathsheba, but I also did some good things. Don't listen. If you're a good man, you just keep focusing on the good things you did. David didn't focus on Bathsheba. He focused on Goliath. He focused on leading the people. He focused on the victories that he had. As a young man, David had to live in caves. He had to live in the wilderness. As a young man, he went with men that were full of depression, full of discontent, full of debt, people who didn't have no kind of hope. And David joined himself with them, and he gave them hope. David said, as a young man, my family was stolen from me, but I went and prayed, and God told me I could recover all. All of this as a young man. Oh, yeah, David said, as a young man, my brothers talked about me. They despised me and told me, you just got some stuff in your heart. You need to get away from here. My brothers rejected me. And David said, as a young man, I was not even able to become king of all Israel. I had to just be king of Judah because people didn't want no part with me as a young man. But I know God was still with me. Just because people don't accept you, just because people don't approve you, don't mean that God is not with you. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Just because some folks don't enjoy what you have done in life and people can't celebrate you, that does not mean that you're not a good man. All that means is that I got people who can't recognize a good man. I wish I had somebody here. Oh, yeah, we need to be able to recognize them, not for their faults, not for their failures, but for their ability to continue, for them being competent enough to stay with it, to be able to overcome. I wish I had somebody. I need to be content, and I need to continue doing what God wants me to do. This is what marks me as a good man, is because I won't stop at trouble. I won't stop at failure. But I get back up and say, Lord, help me to get over this. Help me to get through this. And as I go through, I say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? Y'all not with me this morning? It's all right to say amen in here. He said, not only will God prepare you, but God protect you, and then God will provide for you. God provides for the young and the old good men. Amen. God, he says that I've been young and now I'm old, but I haven't seen the righteous forsaken. I've seen a lot of things. I've seen a lot of trouble. I've seen a lot of people, but I do know that God is right there with me. He said, I've been young and I'm old. I've been through some stuff that youngsters go through. I did the same things that young people people do. But God was right there. Y'all don't hear me. I've been some places that I shouldn't have been. I've said some things that I shouldn't have said. Oh, but I did some other things that I should have did, and they were good. And I realized if it hadn't been for God with me, I wouldn't have made it through. Come on and say amen. Oh, yeah. He said God provided a way. God provided an understanding. God provided a path. Your Bible said that he'll lead me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We need to understand a good man understands that God is a provider. He don't look to other people. He said, God, it's me and you. The Lord will provide. Come here, Abraham. The Bible said that Abraham was about to sacrifice his son. His son said, Dad, I see the fire and I see the wood, but I don't see the sacrifice. Abraham said, the Lord will provide. I wish I had somebody here. And then he came off that mountain calling him Jehovah Jireh. You see, a good man understands who Jehovah Jireh is. A good man understands that Jehovah Jireh will provide when you need it. A good man understands that Jehovah Jireh, that whenever you need the money, when your money is funny and your change is strange, that God will be with you to help you through it all. I'm not telling you that your pockets are going to be full all the time, but what I'm telling you is that if your heart is full of love and you're full of the Holy Ghost, then God will show you a way. He said, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of men the things that God has in store for him, but it's been revealed by his Spirit. Come on and say amen. God will provide. God has good plans for us. It pleases him to give us the kingdom. But not only will God provide for the good man, but the Bible said that God will provide for his children. He said, I have been young, and now I am old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken. I haven't experienced God's leaving me. I haven't experienced God letting me down. I haven't experienced God disappointing me. He said, never have I seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed begging bread. In other words, the seed, the children of the good man. The children of a good man don't have to beg, because God not only gives to the man, but he gives to the man's seed. And that's why I'm here to let you know that I'm not going to be like everybody else and say good men finish last. The Bible said that the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And so I'm doing good, and I might not ever reap the benefit, but I'm looking out for my children. Every seed I sow, I might not get back a harvest, but I know my children will get it. Come on and shout yes. A good man can buy a field. A good man can plant a seed, but the harvest may go to his children. And all I'm trying to say today is stop being so selfish and start looking at the greater good. Start looking at it and realizing that the things I'm doing today is not really for me, but it's for my children and my children's children. Do you know that God will bless all generations because you are a good man? That's why he kept reminding them, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I wish I had somebody here that realized that he is our father's God. And I thank God for my grandfather. I thank God for my grandmothers who thought enough of me that they would help people in the community, because one of these days, who knows what I'm going to need? Who knows what helping hand I'm going to need? But I'm so glad that the steps of a good man are ordered by God. Do you know who the greatest man is? I'm talking about somebody now who's not just a good man, but he was a great man. He came through 39 prophets and 40 in two generations. He took up an old rugged cross. He said that I lay my life down. No man take my life, but I lay it down for my friends. He said, greater love had no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. I wish I had somebody. They called him good master. He said, ain't nobody good but God. Come on and shout yes here. But when I think about this good man, he took my sin and yours, went up on a rugged cross. They put nails nails in his hands and feet, but they forgot what the good man said. He said, if I be lifted up, a good man can draw people. I wish I had somebody. He said, I'll draw all men unto me. A good man was so good that he looked down from the cross and saw his mother crying, but he didn't leave his mama by herself. He told John, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. I wish I had somebody. See, a good man takes care of the family while he does the will of God. I wish I had somebody. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Sound like a good man. A good man told another man who had been a bad man. He said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. See, a good man is not a selfish man. Come on and shout yes here. But let me tell you about this good man. This good man died. He died. He gave up the ghost so that I can live. Do I have any witness? But the Bible said he was buried in a borrowed tomb. But let me tell you about death. See, if you're a good man, death can't hold a good man. The grave can't hold a good man. Because early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Do I have a witness here? Do anybody know him? Do you know who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Jesus. Somebody say yes. I'm talking about Jesus. My grandmother's lily of the valley. My grandfather's bright morning star. I'm talking about Jesus. Abel's vindicator. Moses' burning bush. Come on and shout yes. Samson's bomb. Solomon's wisdom. Do I have anybody? Come on and say yes. He was Jeremiah's fire. Shut up in his bones. Ezekiel's wheel. In the middle of the wheel. Come on and shout yes. He was David's battle axe in the time of the battle. Say yes. But he's my savior. He's your redeemer. And if like Job, I know my redeemer lives. Somebody say yes. If you're redeemed of the Lord, you ought to say so. I wish I had some people that say I'm redeemed. And I'm so glad that he justified me. That makes me good. It's not what I did, but it's what God did that makes me good. I'm good because God is all good. The word good is a derivative from God. In other words, I'm a godly man. Even though I make some mistakes, but I still look to God. I may have some faults, but I still look to God. I may have some failures, but I still look to God. Do I have anybody here that say, I look to God for all my problems? I look to God for all my troubles. I still look to God. I look to the hills, for whence cometh my help? For my help come from the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. Won't God help you? Won't God change you? Won't God fix you? Won't God forgive you? Won't God make you whole? Won't God straighten your life? Won't God keep your children? Won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? Say yeah! Say yeah! I know he's all right. Anybody know he's all right? Well, shout yeah! Shout yeah! Shout yeah! I know he's all right. I say, is he all right? If you know he's all right, come on, tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I may not be so good, but I know somebody who is. And I may not know three things. I may not know two things. And one thing I know, I know he's all right. I know he's all right. Do you know he's all right? Hallelujah. I know he's all right. Thank you, Jesus. A good man.
Thank you for tuning in to Paradise Ministry. We pray something said today has encouraged you in your personal relationship with the Lord. If you would like to have a copy of this message, you can email us at antiochmathis@bellsouth.net, or you can send a love offering of $8 to Paradise Ministry, P.O. Box 281, Woodworth, Louisiana, 71485. As always, we hope to see you in church.
Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
The root of bitterness is underground. It's easy to hide and camouflage. Seldom do you find anyone who will admit that they are a bitter person. They will either deny it or disguise it. A bitter person is hypersensitive, ungrateful, insincere, holds grudges, and has mood swings. One minute they all right with you, and the next minute they could snap your head off. Bitterness will affect you physically, emotionally, and spiritually because the fruit of bitterness is an acid that destroys its container. When your heart is bitter, God will not be real to you because hatefulness and holiness do not dwell in the same heart. And without holiness, you will not see the Lord. If you don't deal with the seed, it's just a matter of time before the fruit manifests. If you have a deep-seated hurt embedded in you, you just can't cut it off at the surface. You know how sometimes people will deal with the symptom of something, and it's just like, it would be just like, oh, you got a bad plant that you want to get out of your yard, and you go and just cut the top off. Have you done anything? No, why? Because the root is still there. And long as that root is there, I done cut weeds down. I take the weed eater. Yeah, what I'm doing? I'm cutting the surface off, right? Two more weeks. It done shot up even stronger. Bigger. More stuff on it. You know, almost like all you did was prune it. So some people prune they hurt. And they don't never deal with the root. Now, it don't grow up overnight, but guess what? In a matter of time. See, it's just a matter of time before that plant come right there. And if you really want to get rid of it, then you have to put something on it that's going to get down to that root. You got to put some Roundup on it. Right? Roundup or kill it. Now, the Roundup I'm talking about is the Word. You better run to some Word. Drank you a lot of Word. Get some Word down in your spirit. Love will kill it. See, love will kill the root of bitterness. It can't grow in you if you walk in love. It can't grow. See, bitterness comes from a hurt. Unforgiveness, you know, is another part of that. That it's a seed of unforgiveness. When you don't forgive because you've been hurt, then it will grow. And if you just deal with the symptoms on it and you just cover it up and mask it and, I mean, paint it and make it look good, you know, still, if you allow it to grow, then one day it's going to manifest. It's going to produce just what that seed is. People say that hurt people hurt people. Why? Because that seed is in them. That's all they can produce. If they got a hurt seed in them, then all they can manifest is hurt. So if you just cut it off and just deal with the, just put a weed eater to it, it's just going to be a matter of time that it's going to grow back. And if you're not paying attention to your lawn, then the fruit could come out. Then you got a problem. And then everybody else know you got a problem. So how does bitterness manifest? I gave you some, but let me give you some more. out of all the things, when the Lord started talking about chastisement, the one thing that he talked about was dealing with bitterness. It means if you're walking in bitterness, you're not walking in love. If you're not walking in love, then you're walking in darkness. And if you're walking in darkness, then Satan have access to your life. He have an open door to come and mess with you whenever he get ready. Because you can nurse a hurt. How many of you ever nursed a hurt? Every one of us have done it. You know you nurse a hurt by telling somebody. I got to tell somebody what they did to me. You know, you get bitter at somebody, you want to knock the head off. You can get violent. I got bitter at a person. This before I got saved. I had that seed of bitterness in me. I was bitter toward a person who hurt me. And I'm going to tell you, I couldn't stand the ground they walked on. I despised them. Didn't even want to hear their name called. And God delivered me from that when I got saved. And he did it through his love. Through me receiving God's grace, and one day God told me, he came to me, and he brought that person up to me. He said, now, you have bitterness in your heart toward him. You have unforgiveness in your heart, and you've been carrying it for a long time. And I looked down in it, and I said, I sure do. I do. That's one of the keys right there to getting free and getting the root out, is that you got to admit it. If you cover it up and hide it, then it's going to keep on growing. You got to pull the light on and say, I say, Lord, you're right. I say, I do. I admit it. I have bitterness in my heart toward this person. He said, I want you to forgive him and let it go. I said, okay, I'll do it. And I did it right there on the spot. And that root come up out of me. I don't feel that way about that person anymore. I changed how I felt. If you pray for the people that have hurt you, the seed won't ever get planted. If you have a heart of good ground, then that good ground and that bad seed just ain't gonna mix. You gotta keep your heart good, good ground. All right, now how does it manifest? You say, well, how do I know when somebody walking in bitterness? Well, when you have these things in abundance coming, I'm not saying that one incident of these things here mean, you know, somebody get mad at you. Oh, they got bitterness. Ooh, they bitter. They got mad. No, I ain't talking about that. Everybody get mad. I ain't talking about incidents of things happening. I'm talking about when there's a pattern of consistency that you see this manifested over and over and over and over again, and that really becomes the character trait of that person. When that's the predominant character trait, then you can say they probably got a root of bitterness in them. All right, here's some of the signs right here. Anger. People that are mad all the time. Discontentment. People that are unsatisfied all the time. That you can't never do nothing to make them happy. They're always discontent and unsatisfied. These are people that you cannot please. Frustration. People that's always frustrated. People that's always complaining, criticizing others, fault finding and murmuring. They always have their mouth on somebody else. And you ask them about themselves, ain't nothing wrong with them. Yeah, but what about what you do? Oh, I'm okay. I'm all right. But their mouth always on somebody else. I'm going to tell you, they got something deep working in them. So you have to kind of, I don't want y'all walking around here looking at each other with your eyes all raised up. I don't want no cockeyed people in here. This is not the church of the cockeyed. I don't want you cockeyed. I don't want you sniffing around somebody like you some Holy Ghost detective. I'm trying to sniff out the bitterness in here. You not the Holy Ghost hound. You know what I'm talking about? I want you to be normal. You just seek peace with everybody. Just make your mind up you're going to love everybody. And then when you run into that, you say, no, wait a minute, I know. Okay, this person here probably got a problem here, but I'm going to love them. I'm going to pray for them, you know, and then I'm going to guard myself.